Come on, be brave. This time a ripple.
More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Mitch Tyke. When most people think of Broadway performer Barbara Cook, this is what they expect.
Climbing the tiniest wall.
But nearing the age of 85, the legendary singer has taken a far jazzier approach.
I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad.
Her new CD, Lover Man, digs into the Great American Songbook, featuring standards by composers like Hoagy Carmichael and Cole Porter, but also covers more modern material, such as Billy Joel's New York State of Mind. Barbara Cook will perform tomorrow evening at the Pittman Theater at Alverno College in a concert celebrating her 85th birthday and Alverno's 125th. She joins Lake Effect's Bonnie North by phone from her New York apartment and talked about the expansion of her musical range.
I really enjoyed doing this so much, and I'm very happy that Hugh Forden wanted to record it again.
Do you find that this direction for you, this sort of jazzier approach, is something that you've been working toward for a while, or was it something that you thought, oh, I'm just going to go for it in this particular recording?
Well, some of the songs that I've been wanting to do for a long time, yeah, and was nervous about doing them because there's so much not what is expected from me because of all the theater song that I've usually done. But through the years, little by little, I've gotten a little more confidence all the time about swinging. And, finally, I just enjoy it so much. So I hope other people enjoy it as much as I do.
I love the fact that you scat on this.
Oh.
And it sounds great. And I thought, is that Barbara Cook? Really? Really? She's scatting, and that's fantastic. And it's exploring a range in your voice that a lot of us who have heard you through the theater recordings aren't used to. You know, you're down in your lower register, and you're just finding all of those really interesting timbres. Getting into that register and finding that part of your voice, I'm curious what you've learned about your voice and about how you approach songs. Has it changed anything for you?
Well, of course, as you get older, voices do change. You know, you get more a deeper sound. The range changes. You know, I don't sing as high as I did once. And it's a natural thing. And so I'm just sort of taking advantage of that, I think.
What about the arrangements? Was that something that you had a lot of hand in on this CD?
Well, for some reason, for the first time in a long time, everybody I usually work with was busy. So I had to look for other people. And it took me, I think maybe the fifth person who came in, Ted Rosenthal, that I started working with. Ted is just terrific. You know, part of the reason I think it took me so long to find a pianist is I'm so new at this. I didn't quite understand that I really needed a jazz pianist. You know, it's sort of unusual for me. And now I think I could have gotten this together faster. Anyway, the time was getting shorter and shorter before I had to open, you know, with this new show. And I decided that I just better get started on it all by myself. Usually I have help putting a show together, you know. And I chose the songs. Actually, it happened very quickly. Oddly enough, this thing I was nervous about. And then I started thinking rather about how I wanted to do these songs. And so I did the layout of these songs, most of them by myself. And I think it worked out very well. I'm very pleased.
I'm curious about the difference for you as a performer working with a jazz pianist versus working with somebody like Wally Harper, with whom you worked for 30 years or so, who had a very different musical approach. Once you realized you needed a jazz pianist, as a singer, what does that do for you, working with that different style?
Well, as long as I've decided to swing, it makes life much easier if I find somebody who's very, very good at that, a real jazz pianist rather than a theater pianist, you know? Ted is so good. And I often work with Lee Musiger, who's also just terrific. So it just helps so much. You you don't have to work quite so hard because they're doing so much of the swingy, jazzy work for you.
And it sounds like you were also having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do. I have great fun doing this. I can't remember enjoying a show as much as I enjoy this one. I really look forward to doing it. It's like I can't wait to get out there and sing for you, you know?
I'm curious why you think this particular show has affected you that way.
Well, there are things that people don't expect from me at all. And I was nervous about doing it. Stephen Holden of the New York Times, for instance, I thought, oh, my Lord, what is Stephen going to say? Barbara, what do you think you're doing now? Give us some more Sondheim. Cut this stuff out. You know, I didn't know if he'd like it or not. And he does, thank goodness. You know, he's our one big guy here in the city for cabaret. And he liked it very much, so that gave me a little more confidence.
Among some of the standards that you've chosen on this, like Hoagy Carmichael tunes, there are some newer songs that I thought were such interesting choices, and the New York State of Mind, the Billy Joel tune, was such an interesting choice, and I thought you did such a great job with it.
Comes down to reality, and it's fine with me 'cause I've let it slide. Don't care if it's Chinatown or on Riverside. I don't have any reasons. I left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Oh, thank you. Terrific song.
And again, not one that we would expect, necessarily.
No, not at all.
You know, you talked about the voice as you age, the voice changing. Is that something that changes also as you get older? You just sort of say, you know what, I'm going to go for it. It doesn't really matter.
Well, I think it is. You know, I think as we get older, most of us relax about who we are, embrace ourselves more. You know, as you get older, I think it's easier to say, look, this is it, folks. You know, it ain't going to change much more than this. So take it or leave it.
It is kind of a freeing thing, isn't it?
Very much so.
Do you still do master classes?
Yes.
As you're working with the next generation of singers, what have you been observing? Are people ready to sort of step into the kind of career that you've had?
Well, I work so often with very young people, you know, as master classes. And that kind of choice is way, way down the line, I think, for a lot of people. The thing that I try to stress is that if you just think this would be a very sweet, nice thing to do, gee, I'd like to sing, forget it. Forget it. It's got to be something that you're willing to put your life's blood into to make a difference, do you know? And also, the other thing is people are so intent upon showing you that they can sing. So that becomes their entire message. Look at me, I can sing. Well, a lot of people can sing. What are you going to do with it, you know? I always want to be let in. Let me in. Let me know who you are. And it's the easier thing to do, but you don't realize that immediately. How can I put this? To be exactly who you are. For instance, I say to people, you are enough. You are enough. You are always enough, all of us, in life and everywhere. We're enough. And we don't have to pretend to be something we're not. The trick is to learn how to really be, on stage when you're performing. And if you learn to do that, then, you know, that's where safety lies. This very thing that seems so so frightening and makes you feel so vulnerable is the very place where safety lies. Because if you can learn to be there on stage authentically for us, then we fall right into whatever you're doing. And that's just going to happen. So you have less to worry about, actually. But it takes time to do that. It takes time to trust it.
I was going to say it takes a certain kind of confidence and a willingness to show yourself warts and all.
Exactly.
And most of us, as you say, most of us are terrified of doing that. We want to present our best self.
Yeah, and also we don't trust ourselves We don't embrace who we are. We think we ought to sound like somebody else or dress like somebody else. Or it's so hard to believe, I think, for some young people, that they are really what we want. We want you. We want you. We want you standing there alive for us, being as simple as that is and as difficult as that is. That's what we always want. In life, too, you know? You're not interested in people who are not authentic, in people who are phonies or, you know, decide they need to sound like somebody else or dress like somebody else. You're just not interested. We always want the authentic self, the authentic person.
And that's, to me, the best advice you could give anybody about anything.
I think so. I ask young people to become more interested in what's happening in the world, to read the newspaper, to understand what's going on, because that way you have more to offer us and you're more alive and more in the moment in the way the world is right now.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing you in the moment here.
Oh, thank you.
On the 6th of October. I can't thank you enough for taking time today to talk with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me.
Renowned singer and Kennedy Center honoree Barbara Cook will perform tomorrow evening at Alverno College's Pittman Theater. She spoke with Bonnie North from her home in New York. We're hearing a track from her new CD, Loverman. The song is Hoagy Carmichael's The Nearness of You. One last break, and then musician Hayward Williams brings his vintage guitar into the performance studio in advance of his CD release show in Milwaukee Sunday. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.
It's just the nearness.